for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, October the 2nd, 1999. Feast of Tabernacle Men's Retreat being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the teacher of the evening. This is part two on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Come on up and give a testimony.
Tell us who he is.
Oh, yes. This is my uncle, Paul Solomon, from out in the Dalles, Oregon. He has a testimony.
Talk about Brother Lyle. He gave David a word. What was it? What year was it when you...
1982.
Gave David a word that he's going to be the Joseph of our family. And David is probably wondering when. But it's about, what was it, 14 years later, it's coming to pass.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you, it might take a little bit of time, might take a long time, but have patience. And, you know, it's amazing the family out there, how they're all, you know, the Lord's affecting the family. I mean, they're turning to the Lord. I was able to pray with a sister. She has a real hard heart. I was able to pray with her 2 weeks ago. And big difference, and I'll tell you, just the Lord's answering prayers. And, you know, my mom, she's 85 years old. She fell and broke her leg, and if you remember Joe Theismann playing football, it was one of those kind of breaks. I mean, it was just above the femur, and it was a nasty break. And she's laying there, and first thing we did is 911 secondary now. You go lay hands on them and pray for them. That's the first thing we did. And then we called up 911. And the paramedic says, they were laughing after they got her to the church, or after they got her to the hospital. They says, man, that lady prayed more for us than she did for herself. So, you know, it's exciting. Things are happening, and it's just glorious. We just praise the Lord for the things that He's doing in our lives and the things that we're seeing. And it's a battle all the time. There isn't any place in the Bible where I see where it says it's going to get any easier. And boy, I'll tell you what, it is a battle. It was a battle just to get here this weekend. So, praise God.
You know, it's amazing when God gives you words.
You're not on.
I'm not on? I'm not. I'm on, sir. Yeah. Am I on? Okay.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's amazing when the Lord gives a word to you from one of His servants. That's what I call my brother back there. He's a servant of the Lord. You know, and what better thing to be called than a servant? And when he gave that word back in 1982 as we were loading him up to bring him down here to Arkansas, you know, my heart was for my family and for all of our relatives to see them saved, see them baptized in the Holy Ghost, and not just stop there, let's go on in. Let's get a little closer. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's... my family was not saved. They said they were, but they were not saved in Illinois. But my wife and I, we prayed for them, and one by one they started coming in. One by one they started coming. And the Lord did a marvelous work. I remember at my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, I ministered in Oregon. And in fact, it was 1982 when I ministered out there. And my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, and the whole family pretty much laughed at my wife and I. They really didn't. They thought, oh, man, these guys are holy rollers. But the Lord knew their hearts as he knew my heart. And I knew that one day the Lord would bring them in. And he's doing that right now. And there was a word that was given to my grandmother. She's 85 years old. And the Lord said that before either his return, that all of his family, his children and her grandchildren, would all know the Lord. And she's a prayer warrior. She prays. She come out of Catholicism. And she said, she told me one day, she says, now I pray right. But she prays three times a day for the family. And she does warfare, I'm telling you. She knows how to do it. We've trained her and taught her some things. And she uses the scripture. She uses the word of God. And she does warfare. And it's through this warfare that the enemy attacks. Amen. He wants to attack us, doesn't he? If we're doing anything at all for the kingdom. But praise be to God, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. More than. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Let's go over, and while you're turning over to, we'll start back in Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. And we'll start there. And I'm going to ask some questions from what I taught this morning later. See if you remembered anything. And I want you to answer me. Hallelujah. As we go through this teaching. Father God, I thank you once again in Jesus' name for the opportunity to stand before your people here, your men of God. Father God, these men that have a heart after you, Lord, I thank you that they receive instruction and they receive truth and they receive this information, Lord God, that will definitely change their lives and change their thinking. Lord, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit now, that you would orchestrate and put all things together so that everyone would understand, even those that would hear from the tape, would understand what the Spirit has to say this day. So, Lord, I thank you now to just open up the Scriptures unto them so they will receive the truth, the grafted word of truth. For I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Chapter 23 of Leviticus, verse 34, says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. These are the feasts of the Lord. You know, an important thing about these feasts, they're progressive, aren't they? We talked about this morning the Feast of Passover and the Passover Lamb. Amen. We all partook of the Passover Lamb. And then we went immediately into unleavened bread. And we've moved on from that, haven't we? And we're continually removing the sin or the leaven out of our lives, aren't we? Today, this afternoon, we had some prayer for that to help us along, to get set free. Amen. And then we're moving into the first fruits. We're becoming shaped and letting the fruits of the Spirit come into our lives, and we're being shaped, aren't we, in this hour that we're living in. And then we move into Pentecost, and there was a time frame of 50 days between the first fruits and Pentecost. And then we find at Pentecost that the fire of God's come into our life. We got baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen? And we began to speak with other tongues, and we began to go out, and we were powerhouses for the Lord, and we're still to be powerhouses for the Lord, aren't we? And then we find that there was a great gap, wasn't there, in between these particular feasts. And we find that between the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, should be pointed out in the Old Testament, up to the Feast of the Trumpets, there was approximately a 4-month period of time. Now, that's quite a long period of time, I guess. But there was a period of time, and there's a period of dryness. And you find that in the Pentecostal experience, if you don't go on with the Lord, you begin to get dry. And you have to keep on trudging forward. And you have to overcome a lot of obstacles. There are a lot of things that the enemy throws at you to keep you from moving on and moving up in the Lord. Amen? And so as with Israel, there was a time, a period of time in there. So it is with us. There's a period of time that we come to the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of trumpets. And in trumpets, it was a time when the priests went up and they went up to the high spot and they blew the trumpet. And they blew the trumpet for bringing the people together. In fact, in all the feasts, they blew the trumpet. But this was a special day. It's a special sound of the trumpet. And I can't think of the Hebrew word right now, but there was a special sound that they had to blow for this particular feast. And they used specific trumpets for that. Specific horns for that. But the trumpets speak to us today what? Trumpets are of voices. Aren't? God is speaking to us through His prophets today. God is speaking to us through His shepherds today, and through His evangelists today, and through His teachers today, and through His apostles today that He's raising up. And He's been speaking to us. And the trumpets have been sounding for a number of years now. And He's telling us to get prepared, and He's wanting us to get together and become as one. Amen? And have we listened? No, I don't think. I don't think the church is listening. I don't think they really have an understanding of what God is doing through His mouthpieces. For if they would, there would be more unity in the church, in the cities where we're at. There is no unity in the churches in the cities where I'm at. I don't know if they are in your area. You cannot get the pastors together in our area.
25 of them in our area.
Praise God. That's wonderful. What are you doing? Get the information out.
It's coming out.
They won't come together in unity. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. There's a few that do, and then they get a little schism comes in, you know, and they don't realize what they're fighting. They don't understand the warfare, do they? But God, through His servants, there's a voice being spoken today for us to get together, come together in unity. God wants us together. He wants us in unity, one purpose and one mind. Amen. And then we come into, this is on the first day of the month, and then 10 days later, we had the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was a solemn feast. And it was a time to afflict your soul. And it was a time to fast that day. And it was a time, even today, the Jews today, on that particular day, they may not celebrate any of the other feasts very much, but that day they do celebrate. And it's a day that they fast, and it's a day that they afflict their souls, and it's a day they confess their sins. And we find on the Day of Atonement that this was a day that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. And he had to be right, and he had to do it right, what he had to do. Amen? But we get to tabernacles. And I see a beautiful picture here over in 1 Kings, if you'll turn to that. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we find in 1 Kings chapter 8, we find Solomon had been building the temple of God. And he made a dedication in chapter 8 of the temple. He dedicated the temple. And at chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month," or the Feast of Tabernacles. At the Feast of Tabernacles, the ark was brought up. And a dedication was made by Solomon. And it says, verse 3, "And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even Those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves that at the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. First time the staves had ever been pulled out of the ark. Yet the ark came to its holy, to its resting, final resting spot, and the staves were pulled out. Never been done before. And there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. Then the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. The ark found its final resting spot at the Feast of Tabernacles. What a culmination, huh? In the Holy of Holies of the Temple of Solomon. Three progressions. The Tabernacle in the Wilderness, the Temple of David, and the Temple of Solomon. Three progressive steps for the church, for the body of Christ. And so we find that when the ark was placed and it was done according to God's law, that in God's ways, that the glory filled the house. I want to tell a story that back in 1983, I came here for the feast. Glenn had a particular meeting, and it was a meeting that happened to fall on a feast day. And we came here, and it was at the Passover. And he had all the men, and I'll never forget this, he had all the men come forward. All the young male men, the young babies that came up, they brought them forward. And I stood over in that corner over there as we all came forward and we presented ourselves before the Lord. And we began to worship the Lord, a cappella, in the Spirit. And the glory started coming in over in the corner and started filling. Remember that? It started filling up the glory when the men did it according to God's ways. And it was an awesome meeting that year. Woo! It was an awesome meeting. It did something to my spirit man and my soul man and my whole man. Praise be to God. God wants his people to come underneath that glory cloud all the time and to feast. He wants us to come into that place where he can bless us. As I said earlier in this morning here, that when we present ourselves to the Lord at these feasts, that he'll protect us. Amen. Look over in Joel 2:23. Good little book, Joel. Hallelujah. Says, verse 23 says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now I believe that we're going to come into the latter rain when we get an understanding of the tabernacle. Amen. The Feast of Tabernacles. And what's the purpose of the God reigning upon us? Anybody know? What does he want to reign upon us? His Spirit, doesn't he? He wants to bless us with his Spirit. And we'll be anointed to do things that he wants us to do. Hallelujah. The outpoured rain and showers of blessing are symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And also it's a revelation of the Word of God. God wants to give you revelation of his word. Now look over in Nehemiah. What a book, Nehemiah. Hallelujah. Something happened to Israel. Israel began to, as we know, go into apostasy. They fell away from God. God brought them into captivity. They were in captivity a long period of time. But God then began to let them go. And Daniel understood the captivity. There was 70 years of captivity. He understood that. But here in Nehemiah, and you can find it in Ezra also, here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the governor, wasn't he? That the king had sent back. Chapter 8 of Nehemiah. Verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra brought the law from the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month." That's the beginning of Tabernacles. Trumpets were blowing. The word was being spoken. "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." Here's the priest. Get a picture of this. Here's the priest that's reading at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets. And he's reading. There's restoration. Nehemiah is the book of restoration. And God is restoring. He restored unto Israel truth. And they understood it. And they even wept when they understood what they had not done or what their forefathers had not taught them. We also should weep for what we've lost because our forefathers have not taught us. And it says, verse 4, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for this purpose, and beside him stood the priest." And you can read them. "And Ezra opened a book," verse 5, "in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people sat down." They all stood up, didn't they? All the people stood up. Is that reverence towards the reading of the word? I appreciate Brother Jack as he has a stand as he reads the word. It's not a custom, is it, in our day and age? But yet it was a custom there. And so in the beginning of the feast, they begin to read the law, read the word. Amen. Verse 14, it says, "And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month." That's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we don't dwell in booths today, do we? We don't need to. Amen. We don't need to dwell in booths. We dwell in Jesus. Amen. But it was interesting as I was reading this. If you look over in verse 15, it says, "And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth into the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, that is written. And so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths." Now look at this, if you would. Don't look at it in the natural. Begin to look at it in the spiritual. What are these branches? First of all, they brought in olive branches. What's that? Pardon me?
Oil.
Oil. Anointing. Amen. Oil, anointing. Olive speaks to us of anointing. And they brought in pine branches. What is pine? Sweet smell, isn't it? And it's speaking to us of a people. Now get a picture of this. This is speaking to us of a people. Not what they're putting on. And palm branches. Palm branches. What does that speak to us of? Royalty. Amen. Humility also. You know. Okay. And we're a royal people. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord, don't we? And they brought in these branches, didn't they? And it talks about others there, myrtle, so forth. But they brought in these branches. And it speaks to us of a type of people that come in into this particular feast. Hallelujah. But you know, what's interesting is that the children of Israel, as they begin to learn this, they found out that they had to separate themselves. Look over in chapter 9. Verse 1 says, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." When they came into the truth at the feast, they knew they had to separate themselves. They had to confess the sins of their fathers. We did that today, didn't we? And something happened, didn't it? Should have. Something happened to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. The word tabernacle is the word sukkah. And it means lair, hut, booth, cottage. den, pavilion,
or tabernacle.
Hallelujah. God wants to dwell in this tabernacle. This is the tabernacle he's concerned about. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if he was talking about wood and all this other stuff, these booths, it would be something. It's because in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, look what Paul the writer says. He's talking to the church there at Corinth. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They couldn't hear. They couldn't receive the meat, could they? Verse 16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which you are." Chapter 6, verse 19. "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The temple, the tabernacle, in the Feast of Tabernacles, he's looking for the temple to be restored. He's looking for this temple right here. He's looking for us to be restored unto him. We are a kingdom of priests. You know, we talked back here earlier to the ladies that God wants to restore us, and so that we may become the kingdom of priests that he wanted and he's ever always wanted. Amen. Look over in John. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. Let's see Jesus in the feast. Hallelujah. After these things, John 7, 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he could not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." Notice what it, these are the Lord's feasts, aren't they? But the writer here called it what? Jews' feast. They had perverted the feast. "The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. For if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him." You know, isn't that the way it is with us? You know, you start talking about the feast and they say, "Oh man, you're going back to legalism. Why don't you go somewhere else with that? Why don't you take that teaching somewhere else? We don't want you here." And so it says in verse 10, "But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, as it were, but as it were in secret." Jesus came up in the midst of the feast, didn't he? "When the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people." And verse 16, Jesus said, they talked to about, and verse 14 says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having ever learned? And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why do you go about to kill me?" They didn't like Jesus, did they? Because he brought truth. He brought revelation. It was something new. Amen? It was not like it ever was. Can you imagine going into that particular synagogue and never seeing a miracle or never seeing anything yet, and Jesus comes in the midst of the feast, and he comes in and does miracles, even on the Sabbath? Now look at verse 37. It says, "And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying something. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, that in the Feast of Tabernacles, the culmination of this thing that's been going on for eons of time, we're going to stand with Jesus, I pray, and we're going to have rivers of living water flowing from us. If we overcome. Amen. If we overcome. Hallelujah. That's interesting that this feast was in the seventh month. Seven is the number of completion, isn't it? Has God completed his work yet? No, he hasn't. He has yet to complete his feast or his work, and it's going to be done according with the feast. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to go through some of the numbers here right quickly. The number 15 is the number of rest. 7 is the number of perfection. 8 is the number of what? New beginnings. Or it's also a number of resurrection. Resurrection. Not many people understand the spiritual significance of the numbers, do they? They read the scriptures and they just go fly through the numbers. But I tell you, there is spiritual significance of the particular numbers. Hallelujah. And there's so much in these particular feasts. Passover was the beginning, wasn't it? And Tabernacles was the end. It's interesting that Passover was in the, they said, the first month. This is the beginning of months unto you, or beginning of the year for you. And then the seventh month was the first month of them. And in the day of Tabernacles, there was a blowing of trumpets that started that. And the tenth day of atonement was the day when the priest went into the Holy of Holies and offered up the offering for sins for the whole of the nation, for the priest first and for the whole of the nation. And then the Feast of Tabernacles started on the 15th day, a day of rest. Is God bringing us into his rest? You know, I had a discussion with some Messianic Jews, and they came into a meeting that we had, and they tried to disrupt the meeting. All they wanted to know is, what day is the Sabbath to you? I said, well, the Sabbath to me is every day because I found my rest in Jesus. They didn't understand that. My rest is in Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that want to come in and disrupt meetings, isn't there? And they didn't understand the truth that there was to that. We find our rest in Jesus. If you're looking for your rest somewhere else, you're looking wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Come unto me. Amen. This Feast of Ingathering is a solemn feast, isn't it? And it's a time that God is going to be bringing us to a point in our lives where we're going to have to give up everything to get in. If you look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then the spiritual tabernacle that's in the heavenlies, God made the pattern the same, didn't he? The spiritual tabernacle is the same as the tabernacle that he gave to Moses. He gave a description of it. And we find that there is nothing of the flesh that can enter into that spiritual tabernacle, is there? And so we, as a body of believers, need to have our flesh destroyed. As I said earlier today, we need to have our life dead in Christ. Amen. We need to die. Hallelujah. There's so much that the Lord wants for us to do. But these feasts are very, very important for us. Now I'm going to ask some questions, and I hope that you may have some answers here. How many feasts were there of the Lord's? Seven. Can you name them?
Three or seven, depending on how you count, how you look at it.
There's two, three, and ones, but there's seven feasts. Anybody, what's the first one?
Passover.
Okay, what does Passover mean to us spiritually? salvation. Okay, accepting Christ. Eating the lamb, amen? Taking the blood, amen? What's the next feast we enter into right away?
Unleavened bread.
What does that mean to... There was a natural meaning, but what does it mean to us spiritually?
The word. Leaven
of sin. Removing it. How is that done? Is it done easily? Not so easily sometimes, huh? With persistence, much. But, you know, and this is what I found during the Feast of Passover. When you begin to, and when you go immediately into unleavened bread, we've done deliverance at that particular time of the feast, and it seems to be easier at that time than at other times. I don't know, don't ask me why, but it just seems to be easier. The presence of the Lord is there, whatever, but it's just amazing. Getting the sin out of our lives. It's a time for us for 7 days to look at ourselves and say, man, Lord, do I have any of this hypocrisy? What were the five sins? Anybody know our five leavens that I gave you? Anybody remember? And? Herodians. Amen. You're good. You guys are all right. Five leavens, wasn't there? That's just some of the areas, isn't it? Okay, and we go right immediately from unleavened bread. And how many days was it between unleavened bread, the first day of it, and first fruits? Anybody know? No, first fruits. First fruits. First fruits. How many? What'd you say? Two? Somebody say two? First fruits. You have unleavened bread on the 14th. I mean, Passover the 14th. Immediately the 15th. And then 2 days after that was first fruits. First fruits, right, of the harvest. First fruits of the feast here. And then it says to count from the first fruits from the time of the waving of the sheaf harvest. Count how many days? 49. Yeah, 50 days, right. 50 days. 50 days, and then we came into something else. What did we come into? Pentecost. Amen. Let's go back. We missed something at first fruits. What happens to us at first fruits spiritually? What happens? Something happens. God's doing a work in us, isn't he? Purging us to become a first fruits company, isn't he? That's where we have to die to ourselves. That's the time of dying. Come into Pentecost. What does Pentecost speak to us of spiritually? What kind, though? There's more to it, yeah. Jesus said, I come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and
fire.
Thank you. Fire. Why don't we get that anymore today? Everybody wants to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they don't want the fire. We've had the fire, haven't we? We've had the fire. The fire does something also. What does it do? Purges, cleanses, purifies. That's good. Now, do we stop there at Pentecost? That's it? We don't. What happens?
Months keep rolling on, don't
we? We keep fighting a battle, don't we?
We're in the wilderness.
We're in the wilderness. We're fighting the battle. It's dry times for us. You ever been through dry times in your life? It's a battle to get back to that times of refreshing, isn't it? And then we find we come into another feast, and boy, are we happy to get to that seventh month. And then God, what happens in the seventh month? What is it? Anybody know? Feast of Trumpets, very first one. And God begins to speak through his prophets, and you get angry. But yes, this loud. Go ahead.
What's coming up? You gotta afflict your soul. You don't like that.
Afflicting our souls, nobody likes. No. Coming into that next month. Yes, we can talk about it in a minute. After.
Comment about the fire. You know, you should welcome the fire in your life because the fire of God was going to bring out the dross.
Amen.
It'll bring the dross to the top of the pot that will be straight to
the top. Amen. Amen. There you go. You know, judgment's coming. What's the last judgment? Anybody know? Fire, isn't it? Judgment of fire, isn't it? And it sounds to me like we're going to have to go through that fire. first. Some will be wood, hay, and stubble, and some will be something else, right? Gold and silver. We need to go through that fire, don't we? So we go immediately from, or we wait 10 days, and in 10 days, we come into another feast. What is that? Atonement. Day of Atonement. You know, back over in John, and I won't go over there, but back over in John, Jesus came into the city 10 days prior to the Feast of Tabernacles. And he was looked at. You know, in the scriptures, it says that they had to look at that lamb. Go back to Leviticus. They had to look at that lamb, didn't they? Hallelujah. It didn't have any blemishes. That's right. No blemishes whatsoever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They brought the lamb in. Amen. And 10 days before the feast of Passover, he went in there also. And we find that in Passover, he was examined also. You know, Jesus got examined a lot. And we need to be getting examined also, don't we? Look over in Leviticus 23, and the Spirit of God is just prompting me to go there. Verse 17, and I didn't bring this out this morning. And he says, "You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord." Now, interesting that in all the feasts, they had to use unleavened, but in this Feast of Pentecost, they used leaven. Were you a leaven vessel when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yes. You had some sin in you, didn't you? It's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is. And even though you had sin in your lives, or you had areas of your lives that you needed help with, God still, through His promise, baptized you with His Spirit, didn't He? And then this last feast, this Feast of Tabernacles, what day of the month was it on? Do you know? 15th, right. 15th day of the month. Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. Now, I'll give you real quickly in these feasts of Leviticus. First of all, the Feast of Passover was on the 14th. Immediately, the 15th was unleavened bread. And then first fruits was after that.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Then we have a skip. We have a 50 days. We have Pentecost. It's by itself. It's set aside. Pentecost was set aside, wasn't it? It's a special day, special time. And then we find there was a four-month period, and then we come into Tabernacles. And we find in the very beginning the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and within a two-week period you have all three of the feasts happening. So they call that a three-in-one feast also. And that's why God, if you go on Deuteronomy 16, let's go there right quickly. Hallelujah. That's why in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, God mentions it. He says, 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in a place which he shall choose. He names it in the Feast of Unleavened Bread and in the Feast of Weeks. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So rather than coming 7 times a year, God put it in such a way that they came 3 times a year and presented themselves before the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'd like to do this evening here, this was not very deep, and I don't think that I went into a lot of stuff here this evening for you. There are a lot of good books back on the table that you can take home, you can purchase here. And you can take home and you can read about the feast if you're interested. Get those books and read about them. And let the Spirit of God bring you into revelation of the importance of these particular feasts, because they are important, all of them. The trumpets have been blowing for some time. There's a day coming when in the Day of Atonement, we're going to be coming together as one. We're going to say, Lord, do a quick work of cleansing. That's a one-day feast, and it's a quick work that the Lord is going to do in his body. Then we come into Tabernacles, the ingathering. Hallelujah. I'd like for us to Just all of us stand up, first of all. You've been sitting for a little while. And I'd like for all of us just to come forward, just once again. All of us, come up here. We need to present ourselves before the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 What is it like? You know, get a picture in your mind. What is it like? What do you think it would be like, Jack, to present yourself before the Lord? What have you got that God wants? All of you, isn't he? He wants all of you. He wants you to present all of you. Every part of your faculties, everything that you have. Don't hold back anything from him. Whole burnt offerings. That's what it says in Romans 12. Let's present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. You're a living sacrifice unto him this evening. And you've come to present yourself before the Lord. Not to me, not to this camp, not to anything else. You've come to present yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever presented yourself before the Lord like this? In a group of brothers? Maybe it's a first for some of you, but it's good just to come. And rather than just be like this, let's get in a circle. Amen. We can broaden it and get in a circle, can't we? Hallelujah. Yeah, just come on up and around. Amen. My goodness, let's get around. Let's just grasp our hands here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I praise God for the work that he's done. The work that took place this afternoon and last night, the instruction we received. I praise God for that. But it's time for us to present ourselves. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we come this evening as priests unto you. Lord, for truly we are a priesthood. Lord, and I ask you to forgive us for not being the priesthood that you want us to be. Lord, as we're joined together now, Lord, that's the unity that you want. That we're unified in spirit and in soul, Lord God, to present ourselves in our body, Father God, to present ourselves unto you. Lord, we ask that you would receive this as a sweet-smelling savor. Lord, we have nothing to give but ourselves. All of us, Lord, have nothing to give but ourselves. Lord, I would ask now that you would just pour your spirit out in a mighty way upon these your servants. Lord, as we yield ourselves, to the working that you want done in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Let's sing a song to him in the spirit.
Your remisio lo dono da mia di
Continue on in the spirit here, Lord, as we continue on worshiping you. Lord, as we continue on, Lord, that you would just reach your hand down, Lord, and touch those that need healing this evening, Lord, in their body. Lord, those that need a healing in their eyes or their ears or their sinuses or whatever part of their body they need a healing, Lord, touch them this evening, Lord. For nothing is impossible with you. Nothing is impossible with you. Not one thing is impossible. And so, Lord, we thank you this evening. We praise you, Lord, for your magnificence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your beauty and your majesty. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your touch this evening. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabati Messiah, look at us, Shombolo Kabata. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Oh, Rabati Messiah, Namata. Oh, Lavahima Rolotamata Matalo Kabota Mashiri Abata. Oh, Rabatinia Tata Kasana. Oh, Yabashita Pronakema Sira Natana Kadayata. Oh, Mirabotaria. You Mirabaya Morimo Hila Rondo. You Bore Mina Dania San Noroboro. Yoramate, Loramudale Lagamai, Elabrona Melati, Labodo, Yahanoreale, Yahanorabatariala Dine, Yacomorno Viavasi, Yolaboro, Yarrahi Nobode, Yarrala Lacanolo, Yalamat. Yabone no 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 no
Yarati laranono, yabata haramiata ta, urimokesi vorono, miaranda halai, moleria halai, moleria halarone, yolanda yelonono, mela kasamiodo, mele hilanoe, samorono yanara. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Boy, hey, la do da da. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, la bria la lia na hole. Oh, la bria na stia. Ebo, moto, moto, moto. Ia da more, hi di da da. E casa mora ma di da da da. E la padi da rondo e ma di. Oh, brother, the anointing is here for healing. The anointing is here for healing. Oh, the anointing is here for healing. Oh, Rabba Sinki de Matala. Isha Modamotella Ratata. Ehila Katsanata. Oh, Rabba Kisanaka. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, Rabbatushike Batamata. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Mati Loro Masikilada. Elatanata. Ushimakahid. Oh, Labratasmi Homota. Oh, Loka Bekidi Matatasmi Dada. Oh, Ramatala Mote Shikimatalo. Oh, Lord, I pray for those on the right and on the left, Lord God. I thank you for your anointing, Lord. I thank you for your presence here among us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your work, your mighty work within these your servants here this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. More of you, Lord Jesus. More of you, Lord Jesus. More. More, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabasidia Tata. Yes, let it flow. Yes, let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it come, Lord. Oh, Rabakisi Halamatala. Oh, hallelujah. Rohe Basikana. Yes, oh, Lamakarakahisa. Praise you, Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, Rabateke Sikana Matala. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi Kisarara. Woo, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Oh, Rapataka Senya. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, oh hallelujah, Jesus, glory, glory, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, glory, glory, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, glory unto the Lord. Glory unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy. Hosanna. 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 Hallelujah. Hosanna unto the Lord God Almighty. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Rabatosi, come on. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sing it, brother. Hallelujah.
When I look unto the hills and I see your beauty, my soul bows down and worships you. You alone are God. There is none besides you. You alone are God, and I worship you. The hill of the Lord is as the hill of Bashan, and he desires, and he desires to dwell there. When I look unto the hills and I see your beauty, my soul bows down and worships you. You alone are God. There is none besides you. You alone are God. And I worship you. The hill of the Lord is as the hill of Bashan, and he desires, and he desires to dwell there. When I look unto the hills and I see your beauty, my soul bows down to worship you. You alone are God. There is none besides you. You alone are God, and I worship you. The hill of the Lord is as the hill of Bashan, and he desires, and he desires to dwell there.
Where I will touch you even in a greater measure, says the Lord. And I will break away the dross, and I will burn it away. And I will be the consuming fire that shall come, says the Lord, a fire that cannot be seen by the naked eye. But I say to you, I will burn, and I will burn, and I will burn. And I will divest, says the Lord, and I will purify. And I will purify, and I will purify, and I will purify. And the purifying shall come to the vessels that stand in my presence, says the Lord. And they present myself as a living sacrifice. And I will come again and again, says the Lord, even in the night seasons. And I will burn, and I will burn, and I will burn. And there shall be such a purifying, says the Lord, that even the mind which is enmity against me, I will bring it under the subjection of the spirit that is within you. And you shall pull down the strongholds in your mind, says the Lord, until you walk in the power of the anointing, says God. And you shall not look to the left nor the right. For this anointing that is coming upon you shall be anointing that even those around you will be astounded. And I say to you, even through you, if you present yourself to be purified, and sincerity of the heart as I know it, says the Lord, those around you shall see and they shall know, and they shall speak and they shall declare, surely the Lord has come as a consuming fire, and there has been a cleansing in the vessels that we see before us. And there shall be declaring of the word of the Lord that shall gush out of you, and it shall water the dry parched places, and the sap that has not been watered and been broken up, says the Lord, it shall become even as a watered garden around you. For those lives that you will water, says the Lord, there will be fruition. And the fruit of the Spirit will be multiplied upon them. And the trees of righteousness shall walk, says the Lord. And the people shall declare that they would want a taste of the fruit. And the fruit that would come out of you, says the Lord, would be of the fruit of the Spirit. And it shall bring life, and it shall bring life, and it shall bring life. And I say to you, declare not to thyself and bring your mind into captivity, says the Lord, that it will not confuse you and come against you. For I, the anointing of the Spirit of the living God, will come upon you even this night, and I will speak to you even the night season. The older one will not say, I am old. The young one will not declare, I am young. For the anointing of the Spirit of the living God is not partial to age, but the vessels that stand in my presence, says the Lord, I will indwell them again and again and again. And thou shalt speak the word with boldness, and thou shalt see it perform in front of you. No weapon, I say to you, as it is written, will perform against you. But I will tear down strongholds in your life, says the Lord. And those things that you have stood against, you will see them diminish. And the words that have come against you that say they will not prevail, I will cause them to arise and be the conqueror in this hour. Men of God, I say to you, arm yourself with the Spirit of your living God. For again I come to fill you, and I will fill you, and I will fill you again and again. And I say to you, you will stand in the presence of God daily, and you shall come for purification. Let this word so ring in your ear today, that you will not forget it, that every day thou shalt present yourself unto me for purification, and they shall know the anointing that shall flow out of you. For I, the Lord, will do it again and again. Oh, Rabasanda.
Praise be the name of the Lord.
Word of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Let that word go down into our hearts, Lord God. Let it go down into our very spirits, Lord God, to bear witness, Lord, to bear fruit, Lord, by your Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for sending forth that word. Oh, God, we thank you. You said it, Lord, now do it. Oh, Lord God, you said it, Lord, now do it. Who are we, Lord, that you should choose us? Oh, Lord, who are we that you should choose us for such great honor? But, Lord, you said it, so, Lord, do it. For you said that your word would not depart from your mouth without accomplishing that which you sent it for. It would not return to you, Lord, Lord God. Lord, we say, do it now, Lord God. Do a quick work, Lord God. Do it now, Lord. Touch us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We accept your word, Lord God. Do it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So say you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Oh,
the Lord be magnified. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasanda, awesome Spirit. Awesome God. Awesome God. Magnify yourself in us, Lord. Be glorified by God. Consuming fire of the living God. Burn, Father, with you.
And
even up on you. And I stood and you thought that you were in the outer court, but you have been brought into the inner court. That anointing shall begin to flow through you. That anointing of the Spirit of the living God will be a double portion unto you. In faithfulness thou shalt see the glory of the Lord. And the anointing shall rest upon you, and it shall flow through your household. And you shall know that surely the Lord this night has spoken the word to your spirit. For even in the night seasons, there will be this night that will come when you will not sleep. For I, the Lord, will keep you awake to speak to you. And I will speak into your spirit things that thou must know for this day to come. And thou shalt be astounded. And thou shalt be as the mothers of Israel, says the Lord. And that anointing shall multiply. And you shall impart that anointing as a fire that goes from vessel to vessel. And you shall glorify me. And they that be touched of you shall know that surely the goodness of the Lord has come upon your house. And you will not be afraid or intimidated, but you will walk as Deborah's of the season. And you will speak the word with boldness. And thou shalt not speak out of your own, but the Spirit of the living God shall be upon you. And it shall flow, says the Lord, as tongues that will flow like a river. And they will water the dry parched places. I say to you, some of you have stood in the way of fear. And you wonder sometimes even in the relationship that it would work. But I say to you, even this night it'll work. For surely I will heal and I will restore. And I will divest and I will restore again. And I will give you those things that are needful, says the Lord, that you might know that this night the Lord has spoken a word in due season. And it shall be out of you that it shall come. And you shall speak, it says the Lord, and you shall see that which must be fruitful. And it shall multiply. I will multiply, and I will again water you, says the Lord, for you are also the trees of righteousness. And you shall bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And thou shalt no longer be intimidated or walk in fear. But this night a special anointing is coming upon you. And you shall know that surely the Lord has spoken the word to your spirit. For this word shall quicken you, and you shall feel it, and you shall know it.
Hallelujah.
You ought to give the Lord a clap offering for that. Amen.
The Spirit, Lord. Lord, we loosen that. We loosen that. The blindness, Lord. The devil has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we loosen, oh Lord, you came that the blind might see. Lord, we loosen their eyes that they might behold you, Lord God. The ears that they might hear you, Lord God. We pull down everything, high thing that stands against the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. We pull it down and we put our foot on it. We stomp it in the ground and we lose salvation from grace into their lives. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody smoked a pipe. I've seen the pipe, but I haven't seen you smoke it, so I don't know who you are. Are you here?
He's looking at you.
I want to speak a word to you. God's not here to condemn you, and I'm not here to judge you, condemn you myself. But when you took that pipe, when you first took that pipe, you took it as something that was prestigious. It was better than a cigarette, and better than a cigar. And that was deceitfulness because it makes you feel important. This is fine. The Lord says He wants to break that up. Because that thing is going to be one of the biggest strongholds in your life. And when you really, in the gift, if you don't break it now, and you want to break it later, it's going to be four times harder. It's going to get you to the point where it's going to make you sick. And you feel you can lay it down like you lay it down on the bench. But it's not going to be that way. It's going to lay you down. So the Lord saying that tonight, if you want, you're going to have to take a strong hold of it. And you have to pull it down. I want you to look at me. I'm not condemning you, and I'm not judging you. I'm not your judge. Okay. I'm just saying what God is saying to you. You know, I never saw you smoke it. I just saw the pipe. And for somebody, and the Lord just spoke to me right now. As a matter of fact, I passed by there and I saw him throw it away. And the Lord said, let them do it. I said, okay. Because He would have made you mad. Somebody took my security.
There is going to be a war even now. There's going to be a war. How long have you been doing it?
kill you, you mean of myself, well. And all that you will kill our cup. Holy cup. Holy cup. We've been doing it for 35 minutes. I won't be easy. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. You want it?
You can follow me so long.
I was a person for a long time.
Yes.
I was a womanizer for a long time. I was a rebel bandit for a long time. But God has called us to be home. Mm-hmm. For a long time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of addiction. And I command it to loosen you in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would give him the spirit to overcome. You've given him a sound mind, the power of God to overcome the spirit of addiction. And I break the power right now in the name of Jesus. The brother spoke it already, God. And Father, I pull down strong hands. I speak healing to his throat. I speak healing to the air passages of his body and to his lungs. Father, I command the spirit, Father, that brings sickness and disease to leave him right now. I loosen him, Father, that this thing will no longer be a part of his life. This vessel will be solely used for the glory of God. That in him, Father, shall dwell the goodness of the Lord. I release anointing to overcome the sin. In the name of Jesus. Don't leave it outside of here. Because if I pass by, you're not going to find me. I love you. I resist that. Thank you, brother. You know what? There's going to be a tremendous testimony for you. It will be used to all. You know, great amazing of God. Let me tell you something. You know, when God divests us, I do teachings and preachings about perversion, oral sex, all the things in our marriages. When I got delivered, even a better, greater anointing came upon me. And it was a battle because I enjoyed doing it. I got delivered as a Christian when I got the teaching and the revelation. I said, I will never do it again. And I told my wife, you'll never do it to me. And I'll never do it to you. And we have to be real. What do you want me to do with it? I was never afraid to do the thing. And a lot of the things that we deal as men and women, you know, we're grown up, and if we face reality, we're going to have a greater deliverance. When we become real with one another. You know, in my church, I said, man, that guy, I don't want to go there. He's real. He just blessed out from the pulpit. And I think we've held too long to those things that are sin. And we don't want to talk about it, even in our own life, even to our children. While our children are being messed up and going into perversions because we're too ashamed to tell them the reality of the things that God hates. And it's time that we open up our hearing and our understanding to be able to say even to our daughters, look, this is where it's at. And this is what I have to instruct you. And I'll tell you what, if we do that tonight and we take that authority, there'll be greater freedom and greater release of anointing. I was teaching the things to some men in Phoenix, and one of them got mad. He says, where in the world do you get all this stuff? I says, believe it or not, I study. And the Lord reveals it to me. I says, I've been there, brother.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same. At his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.